We live, we love, we serve.
We are an ever-evolving community of visionaries, dreamers, and doers who have been called by God to live the lives we are created to live, commanded by God to love beyond the limits of our prejudices, and commissioned by God to serve. Called to live, commanded to love, commissioned to serve. And here at FCBC, we love to say it this way: we live, we love, we serve. Amen. Beloved, I want to draw your attention today briefly to the book of Joshua. A couple of weeks ago at our virtual service, second Sunday, I spoke from the book of Joshua. And I want to go back there again and look at Joshua 3, verses 14 through 17. Joshua 3, verses 14 through 17. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version of Scripture. When the people set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were in front of the people. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. So when those who bore the Ark had come to the Jordan and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, the waters flowing from above stood still, rising up in a single heap far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. While those flowing toward the Sea of Arabah, the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off. Then the people crossed over opposite Jericho, while all Israel were crossing over on dry ground. The priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan. Amen, beloved. Come on, let's pray. God, we thank you today, and as always, we have nothing but gratitude in our spirits, oh God. In fact, oh God, we began this worship experience in gratitude, and gratitude has been guiding us along this way. So God, as we come to the end of another year, we stand on the edge of a new year coming, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you will continue to move and have your way. Most of all, oh God, you will remind us that you still love us, you still care for us, and most of all, that you are still mindful of us. What more could we ask for, oh God? So God, thank you. Thank you, God, for there's so many things that we can celebrate, but right now, oh God, we just thank you for being alive, oh God. We love you, Lord. We honor you, God, and it's in your name we pray. And we say, amen. Amen, beloved. Let me read that passage again, Joshua 3, 14 through 17 in the New Revised Standard Version. When the people set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were in front of the people. Now the Jordan overflowed all its banks throughout the time of the harvest. So when those who bore the Ark had come to the Jordan and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, the waters flowing from above stood still, rising up in a single heap far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, while those flowing toward the Sea of Arabah, the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off. Then the people crossed over opposite Jericho, while all Israel were crossing over on dry ground. The priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan. Amen. Beloved, I have a title for this sermon today, and here's a title. I've got an upstream testimony. I've got an upstream testimony. Amen. Amen. Israel was at the place where they had longed to be for 40 years. They are on the precipice of a new day, for they are on the edge of the Jordan, poised to enter into the promised land, Canaan. This is what God had spoken into Abraham. This is the promise that was repeated to Isaac and Jacob. And all of Israel knew this promise that God made to Abraham, that God would bring them into a land of promise, into Canaan, which they called the promised land. It had been an arduous journey. Many people's lives were lost. Many battles were fought. But Joshua, the new leader of Israel, stands poised to lead God's people into the promised land. Israel is finally now at the Jordan, across from Jericho, which would be the first encounter in the promised land. They are close enough to see the promise, yet there's something blocking them. There's something standing between them and their promise, and that is the rushing waters of the Jordan River. The writer says in this story that the Jordan is now overflowing. It is harvest time, and the water is swelling up on the banks of the Jordan. And in that harvest moment, with the swelling of the river, it is turbulent. It is flowing with a rough current. And this turbulent river stands between the people of God and their promise. Here they are. They can see the promise. But there's a raging river between them and the promise. I'm going to say it again. They can see the promise, but there's something standing between them and the promise. I've learned a long time ago that sometimes what God promises feels near, but what's in front of us feels impossible. I hope you heard that. That there are times when what God promises us feels near, but what's in front of us feels impossible. I wish there'd been moments in life, especially when we're close to the breakthrough we've been promised by God, been praying for. I wish we would get to a place where we didn't have to go through anything to walk into the promise, especially when we've gone through much already to get to the threshold of the breakthrough. There are those moments when I know I'm not the only one who's wished that at this moment things could just be a little bit easier, especially if you had a challenging time to get to the edge of your breakthrough, if you've had a difficult time. It doesn't mean that there were not moments of celebration, but there are moments when which you had to struggle through to get to what God had for you gets you in a space sometimes where you say, God, at this point, after everything I've gone through, this part of the journey should be easy. But you discover that even this part, after all you've been through, this part of the journey is not always easy. You can see the promise, but there's still one more river to cross, one more struggle to encounter, and one more moment that you have to face. And Israel had to face this moment. God had given Joshua the sign. God had told Joshua what he needed to do. And now they stand on the edge of the Jordan. God had made it very clear that the people of God would cross the Jordan led by the priests who are carrying the ark on the sacred poles. And in those instructions, God told Joshua to tell the people to stay about 2,000 cubits away from the ark to keep their distance, because the way they're going, they've never been before. They've never entered this place. And I remember thinking about 2,000 cubits. And I remember years ago looking up and finding out that 2,000 cubits was about a half mile distance. So picture the scene. They are at the edge of the Jordan, about to cross into their promise. They're told that the priest must lead the people carrying the ark across the Jordan, and they have to stay about a half mile away from that ark. But between them and their promise is this turbulent, full, overflowing flood of river on the banks of the Jordan. I can see it even now, that even though they're not in the river, their feet are saturated by the water from the river as they gather near the edge of the Jordan. And God is making it clear that God is with them. God has already told Joshua that he will be with them as he was with Moses. And so they have the presence and promise of God. But again, there's one more river to cross. And this river they must cross is overflowing. It is rushing. There is turbulence. It is problematic. Again, that often mimics some of our journeys. Journeys that we take with God when we get close to the promise, the breakthrough. We get close to seeing the dream fulfilled, the vision come to pass, and there's still one more struggle we have to face before we walk fully in what God has called us to. And this is a beautiful scene, because the people of God are trusting Joshua. and Joshua is trusting God to move. This scene is almost reminiscent of what happened when Israel was coming out of Egypt, when in order to get through, away from rather, Egypt, to get to the other side, there was the Red Sea in front of them. If you remember that story, when God told Moses what to do after the people complained to Moses and Moses complained to God because they had come to the Red Sea and there was no way across, they thought, God told Moses to lift that staff. And when Moses lifted that staff, the waters of the Red Sea part. And now this new generation is poised again on the edge of more water. And Joshua was there when he saw that Red Sea part. And now Joshua is waiting to see what God will do. That's what we often have to do when we get to these moments, where we are filled with promise and possibility. And sometimes you get to a point in your journey where you've done everything you know to do, where you've honored God's directives, you are obedient to what God said. And now sometimes you got to wait to see God move. Again, the waters are raging and flooding and overwhelming, and the people are seeing this. And I'm sure there were some who wondered, how in the world will we get to the other side? And Joshua had to be thinking, what will God do next to grant us safe passage across this Jordan? Sometimes I also realize in life that when you know God is leading you and guiding you to do this thing, to get to the place that God has promised you, sometimes it seems like what is in front of you has not changed. I'm going to say it again. They are standing on the edge of the Jordan. The waters are overwhelming. The current is flowing and rushing. And now they are waiting to see something happen. The water has not changed. It still remains loud and turbulent and sometimes even defiant. And they are waiting for God to move so that they can cross into their promise. And here's what I love, and I'll be done in a moment. What I love about this scene is that the people are waiting to see what God will do next, but they never see God move to clear the path. They never see God move in front of them to make it clear they are supposed to go. Remember, they're told to cross over. The priests are told to step into that water. And now they're on the edge and they don't know what God is going to do. And God is moving, but it doesn't look like God is moving. I hope you heard that. God is actually moving, although the waters are still overflowing. They're still turbulent. They're still loud, but they don't know that God is moving, but God has indeed moved, but they can't see the move of God. I hope you catch this, beloved. God is moving. God is honoring the promise, but they cannot see what God is doing. They've trusted God to this point. Joshua has honored God to this point, and they're given a directive to cross over, but the conditions do not look like they are working with them. The conditions look like they're working against them, but God is moving. I hope you can catch what I'm saying. God is moving, but the circumstance seems like it's the same. The waters are still overwhelming. The current is still rushing. It is still turbulent and still loud, and yet God is actually moving. But why can't they see what God is doing? I'm glad you asked. Because in this passage, there is a line, I believe it is in verse 16. It says, the waters flowing from above stood still, rising up in a single heap far off at Adam. I want you to hear this. Adam was upstream from where Israel was. The waters stood still and rose up in a heap, almost like the visual of the Red Sea. God was moving, but from their vantage point, they could not see what God had done. I hope you catch that, beloved. God was upstream, causing the conditions for them to cross. But the longer they waited after God's move, the more the waters started to recede. Oh my gosh, I often have a visual of that moment, that they're standing there and seeing the water, but the longer they stay still and obedient, the lower the water begins to get. Why? Because God had already made a move out of sight upstream. Beloved, I know that seems a little odd, because here's what I know, and I know how I feel at times. I wish God would fix things right in front of me. I wish at times God would just let me see how God is moving. I'm telling you, I wish God would just let me in on what God was doing and make what God was doing visible. But here's the thing about this passage. I don't know. They didn't see what God was doing. They didn't know how God was moving, but they had to be the beneficiaries of God's move. They got the unexpected gift of sitting still long enough to benefit from an act of God that they could not see. That's the joy of this text. God fixes the upstream conditions that have been dictating their downstream reality. I hope you catch that, beloved. God has been fixing the upstream conditions that have been dictating their downstream reality. God does not move downstream. God moved upstream out of vision. And their responsibility was to sit still and trust God. I hope you catch this. And the longer they stayed still, the longer they waited on God, the lower the water got. The longer they waited on God, the more they trusted God, the water began to recede. The more they waited on God and the more they trusted God, the conditions became favorable for their crossing. I'm going to say it one more time. The more they trusted God, the more they waited on God, the conditions became favorable for their crossing. Here's what I'm going to tell you and be honest about. There are moments in our lives when we get to the river's edge and we're so impatient for what God has promised. Sometimes we step out before God moves. Sometimes we act out of impatience and haste, and we think that we're assisting God. But here's the problem, that sometimes when we move out of alignment, out of step, and out of God's time, we put ourselves in a position where instead of reaping the benefits, we find ourselves fighting for survival. In some ways, I know there's more than a few of us who can testify to that. Those moments where impatience guided your steps, where lack of trust was guiding your movements, where God seemed to be taking too much time to move in your life, and you decided to act in haste, act in impatience, and before you know it, what should have been a blessing now becomes a fight for your survival because you acted out of accord with God. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to be still and trust God. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is be patient when the promise is in front of you. I gotta say that again, beloved, because I'm convinced that sometimes patience is easy to practice when you can't see what God has for you. But can you imagine that they were standing on the edge of the Jordan and they could see across the Jordan the promise, but yet even that close to the promise, they still had to learn a lesson in patience. And what they thought might have been God delaying, I want you to catch this, because they didn't see anything happening in front of them, what may have seemed like it was God delaying was actually God merely developing. It's what I learned to call upstream grace. It's when God is moving upstream in your life out of sight to set the conditions for your breakthrough. When God is doing things where in spaces you cannot see in order to set conditions for you, that's where the breakthrough is. And I hope there's some folk in here who are watching today who can testify, who understand that there have been moments in your life where it seemed like God was taking God's time, but it only seemed that way because you could not see the mechanisms of God's deliverance. You could not see the movements of God's grace. And what seemed like delay, God was developing the scenario and the situation to help you easily cross over into the promise. Now, if you move out of step with God, yeah, you might have found yourself swimming, drowning, struggling. But what I love is that sometimes when you exercise a little bit of patience, God makes the transformation. God makes the crossing over. God makes the breakthrough, something you can easily walk into. I hope you got that, beloved. Because maybe somebody here today, you are like maybe some of the people were in Israel, standing when you are on the edge of the breakthrough. The water is raging. Your feet are wet from standing on the edge. It is still harvest time. And that's what the writer lets us know. It is harvest time and the water is overwhelming and the water may be turbulent. The rushing of the water may be loud, but you're standing on the edge of it, still trusting and still believing because God is still moving. Can I help you understand this right now? That there are some moments where there are things happening upstream that you are not aware of. There are times when God is moving in spaces and places you cannot imagine, but it's not for you to imagine it. It's for you to be the recipient of God's action. Let me put it to you this way, that sometimes God is moving with people you never met, in rooms you've never entered, in decisions that you've not made, that God is moving upstream, that upstream, out of your sight, out of what you think is God's movements, God is shifting the flow and interrupting the cycle and halting the currents that have carried pain. I hope you catch that. That sometimes God is moving out of sight to heal you from the things that have sought to destroy you, that God is moving out of sight to restore you in moments when you've been fractured and fragmented, that God is moving out of sight to make ways and create mechanisms so that your transformation, your breakthrough, your crossing over is easier than you thought it could ever have been. Yes, you went through some struggles, and yes, you went through some heartache, and yes, you've had difficult times, but this thing standing between you and the breakthrough is not the thing that will stop you. It's the thing that God is dealing with, but you just can't see the move of God. And that is when your patience and your trust gets tested. I can tell you, beloved, that one of the hardest things to do is feel like God is moving even when you can't see. And what I love about this scene is that the waters begin to recede because they have to watch the waters that had already been flowing flow by. And at some point, the waters stopped flowing. The ground got dry. The priest stepped in and the people crossed over on dry ground. Not because God was delayed, because God was developing the context for their ultimate breakthrough. That's what I want to tell somebody today, that you have to trust that God is moving even when you can't see it. That is the faith required for the journey. Somebody needs to know that today. Because you're busy asking God for a sign. But what if God gives you the sign, but you can't see it? That doesn't mean God is not moving. It just means it is not meant for you to see how God is moving, but just receive that God has done it for you already. That is what faith means. It is saying, God, I'm going to stand on the edge of turbulence. Oh, my God. I'm going to stand on the edge of what seems overwhelming, but trusting, like Israel had to learn. You've brought me too far to believe you'll forsake me now, especially when I can see what you have for me. Beloved, you may be standing on the edge of your own Jordan right now, loud, flooded, unpredictable, scary, terrifying. But somewhere upstream, God is moving. Somewhere upstream, grace is gathering. Somewhere upstream, the current is shifting. Somewhere upstream, things are coming together in your favor. Somewhere out of sight, God is preparing the path for you. God is making the way for you. And I'll say it again, just because you can't see it don't mean God ain't doing it. And just because it feels like it's delayed don't mean it ain't developing. God is moving. And that's when you get to the point in your journey where after the crossover, you look back and you can say, God, I thank you for my upstream testimony. I thank you that even though I couldn't see it, I felt your movement. And I love, God, that you still, even when I don't see it and without my permission, you still create paths in the midst of what seemed dangerous. You created waves in the midst of what seemed turbulent, and you opened doors in my life in the midst of what I thought was chaos. I've got an upstream testimony. God is moving. Beloved, you too have an upstream testimony today. You have that assurance of God's promise. And here's what I learned a long time ago. If God has spoken it into your life, here's what I will tell you. In due season, it shall come to pass. And sometimes all you got to do is stand on the edge of chaos and watch God resolve the turbulence. Stand on the edge of the promise and let God deal with the currents upstream. Here's how Grandmama and them put it. God, I thank you for things you did, unseen and seen. And sometimes you got to learn that that praise for the unseen sometimes is greater than praise for what is visible. God, I thank you for the things you cut off that never came my way, for the situations you cut off that never hit me, for the people you cut off before they tried to come against me. God, I thank you for cutting off the flow of what could have destroyed me upstream. And now you and I can say that we have got an upstream testimony. Come on, beloved, let's pray. God, we bless your name today. You know, God, as always, we thank you. We thank you, God, because this lesson today reminds us that we don't always have to see it to know that it is so. And that, in a word, God, is faith. Faith is, God, you remind us in your scriptures, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And God, sometimes you do your best work in the unseen spaces, where our faith must operate and our patience must be the guide. God, thank you for that reminder today. Because if somebody today who heard this word, who was wondering whether you were actually moving, who even may have begun to doubt that you've been listening, and the only reason they doubted, and the only reason they were confused, and the only reason they were unsure that you, if you were listening, is because you are moving upstream. Thank you, God, for being faithful to us in our seasons of turbulence and chaos. You're still the same God. We love you, Lord. We honor you, God. And it's in your name we pray. And we say amen, amen, and amen.